My name is Amir Telibacilović. I'm a journalist and a local guide in the city of Sarajevo in Bosnia, and I'm traveling with Rick Steves. Ja sam Amir Telibacilović, putujem sa Rick Stevesom, inače dolazim iz Sarajeva u Bosni i Hercegovini, gdje radim kao lokalni vodič i kao novinar. In English it would be like, I'm Amir Telibacilović, I'm coming from Sarajevo in Bosnia, and I'm traveling with Rick Steves.
Imagine escaping to a place where rainforests and cloud forests coexist, where you can choose a beach on either the Pacific or the Caribbean. And a walk in the jungle can bring you face to face with exotic wildlife, like spider monkeys. Costa Rica, it's a surf destination, a biodiversity haven, and a paradise for adrenaline junkies. It's nestled between Nicaragua and Panama in the skinny part of Central America. It's a stable democracy of well-educated citizens, and it's been independent since 1847. Canadian-born tour guide and author Nikki Solano has made Costa Rica her home for the past 15 years. She joins us now on Travel with Rick Steves to introduce us to the Pura Vida, the good life, the sweet life, the relaxed life in Costa Rica. Nikki, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Rick. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so you're Canadian and you spend most of your time in Costa Rica, but you do go back and forth. That's a kind of a cool dual kind of world. What is it like to toggle from Canada to Costa Rica?
Yeah, well, I want to say it's difficult, but it's actually quite easy. My husband and I definitely get our fill of both. So my family is primarily in Canada. So I come, you know, I visit Canada a lot to spend some time with them. And all of my husband's family is in Costa Rica. So we're obviously there for our jobs and we're also there to spend time with them. So When we are down there, we get to live the Pura Vida life. And then when we're not, we get to get a taste of the Canadian culture, which is kind of nice.
So Pura Vida, I got to admit, I didn't realize that was a big thing in Costa Rica until I started reading your moon guidebook to Costa Rica. Explain just in a nutshell, what is Pura Vida as it applies to Costa Rica?
Sure. So Pura Vida in English translates to pure life. Now, a lot of people think that it's kind of the country's mantra about purity, but I would actually beg to differ. It's not really about purity at all. It's more about simplicity, like having an appreciation for the small things in life.
Yeah.
So it's just about kind of living life in a relaxed way, working hard, but not stressing too much about it, and making time for friends and family.
And maybe people who live in Canada or the United States whose lives would not be described that way can find Costa Rica a particularly nice vacation just because it's a needed break.
That is a huge draw to Costa Rica. So if you've been here once before, you kind of absorb some of that Pura Vida. As soon as you get back home, you're planning your return trip so that you can get a little bit more of it.
I've been to Costa Rica one time, and I went on a great vacation. An expert in Costa Rica just put it together for me. I was so Pura Vida, I swear I got home, and I didn't even know where I went. You showed me a map of Costa Rica. I wouldn't know if I was on the east or the west or the north or the south. It was so Pura Vida, and it's like nothing I've ever experienced in my travels.
You know, I feel like you've just described my marriage, Rick, because I was not a Pura Vida type person at all 16 years ago before I came to Costa Rica for the first time. I was working a very busy job. I loved it, but I was just kind of buried in it. And I went on vacation to Costa Rica, met my husband.
You met him on a river rafting expedition, as I understand.
Yeah. So when I was planning my vacation, I walked into a travel agent's office and I said, I don't know where I want to go. You tell me where I should go. And she threw this magazine at me and I flipped through it and saw a picture of a whitewater rafting tour.
Yeah.
And so I went back and said, I want to do that. So it ended up being a backpacking trip through Central America.
Uh-huh.
I took the whitewater rafting trip, which was in Costa Rica, and my husband was the rafting guide. So we met and I had never dated somebody from a different country before. He hadn't as well. And we just communicated and kept in touch. And within, I'd say about 8 months to a year, I was living full time in Costa Rica and the rest is history.
And that was 15 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, 16 years ago now.
And now you're we've got the same publisher. You write moon guidebooks and you've written the Costa Rica guidebook for moon and also a different approach, which is the best of Costa Rica, how to make the most out of a 5 to 7 day trip. You know, Costa Rica to me is unique in Central America. I've spent a lot of time in Nicaragua and El Salvador on political kind of trips, and Costa Rica seems like a world apart. I mean, just a few miles away is Honduras, the murder capital of the world, you know, and then you got all this heartache going on in Guatemala. how does Costa Rica end up being the Switzerland of Central America?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different facets at play, but the one thing I keep coming back to is the fact that there's no military. So the government takes all that money that they would normally channel into a military, and they've flowed it through to other avenues. So education's one, education system's really great. Healthcare is another one. There's free healthcare. And obviously it has its challenges. It's not a perfect system, right. But so all this money that would normally be going into the military is being fed to the locals through these other avenues. So I think that kind of down the line has translated to, you know, better education opportunities, work opportunities, yeah. Just better lifestyle overall.
It offers an adrenaline kick for surfers and zipline fans, and it's a haven for viewing tropical plants and wildlife from two sea coasts and into a cloud forest among volcanic mountains. Nikki Solano is our guide to Costa Rica right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Nikki leads custom tours and writes the Costa Rica guidebooks published by Moon. She and her husband Ricky also run a travel blog with trip planning advice, do's and don'ts, and safety tips for Costa Rica. It's at CostaRicaTravelBlog.com. When we think about Central America and when we think about Costa Rica, I would say stability and safety has got to be a concern. And when I think about Costa Rica, I think about a lush environment, I think about stability, and I think about safety.
Yeah, I mean, I've always felt safe in Costa Rica, even as a solo traveler. Sometimes, you know, I'm on my own out there without my husband around. Yeah, I've never been too concerned. I work with a lot of like solo travelers as well who reach out to me asking if Costa Rica is a safe place to visit. I don't hesitate to say yes. I mean, obviously, there are things that you can do to practice safe travel. Right. You know, common sense is a big part of it, but I wouldn't be fearful if I was a traveler coming to Costa Rica for the first time.
And in most of the Central American countries, I think the most dangerous place is generally the biggest city. And you don't even hang out in the big city in Costa Rica. People go to San Jose as a springboard to get out into the countryside or down to the beach, I think. So, First of all, a lot of us don't really have a sense of Costa Rica. Can you very quickly give us the lay of the land, the red tape? Do you have to have a visa? What's the language? What's the cost? What concerns? What's your nutshell education for people dreaming about a trip to Latin America and they want to go to Costa Rica?
Wow, that's hard to put that in a nutshell, Rick. Okay, so we'll start with visas. So you do not need a visa if you are from Canada or the United States. Mm-hmm. Most European nations don't need one as well. There is a list of a few other nations that do require one.
But basically for Americans, you just fly in with your passport.
Absolutely.
And you have Costa Rican money, so you have ATMs just like anywhere.
You know what? American dollar is widely accepted. English is spoken widely. So you don't even really need to practice the language or, you know, use currency exchange to buy the local colones. It's very easy. Just buy a plane ticket, you know, fly down, use your money and go.
Have a good guidebook. I think I can name one. And what about the climate? I've had my experience in Central America where it's either high altitude and hot and nice or really muggy and buggy on the coast. What's the concerns about climate? And there doesn't seem to be a lot of difference over the course of the year in the climate.
No, I mean, Costa Rica has 12 different life zones. And so you get a lot of little microclimates. So it really depends on where in the country you go. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I mean, temperatures are roughly the same. They kind of average, I'd say maybe 75 in cooler places, upwards of maybe 85 in the really hot zones. But they kind of stick to that range year round. Obviously, up in mountainous destinations, it gets a bit cooler and cloudy. That's where you find the cloud forest. Mm-hmm. So you'll get kind of a mistier climate up there. Down by the coast, you can get a lot of humidity. It can get a little buggy, especially with all the national parks and reserves around there. But it's a mix. It really depends on where you go, determines what you find.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Nikki Solano, and she's taking us into the heart of Central America to Pura Vida country, Costa Rica. Nikki's written several Moon guidebooks, and she's written two on Costa Rica. She leads tours around the place that she's so proud to call home. You can find more about Nikki and her work at her website, and that is NikkiSolano.com. And Nikki is with two Ks, N-I-K-K-I. Hey, Nikki, in your book, you listed 10 top experiences. And I just think it'd be fun to go through these really quickly. In some countries, I do a geographical approach. But when I think about Costa Rica, it's more important to think of what you want to do and let that drive where you're going to go. So let's just talk about these top 10. And I'm just going to tick through them and you can just kind of explain what you got in mind. First of all, What an opportunity to encounter wildlife. I'll never forget walking through the forest under monkeys swinging from the branches above me, seeing incredible birds. And then for me, a highlight was taking a night tour of the bugs. And that was, I'll never forget that. They all shine at night and you walk through the forest and you see these little beady eyeballs looking at you and you have an expert giving you the blow-by-blow. It's a good example of how rich the natural situation is. Talk a bit about the wildlife you can encounter.
I mean, Costa Rica is wildly biodiverse. There is so much wildlife, marine life, birds that you can find here. It's incredible. And the best thing about the wildlife in Costa Rica is that you don't have to do much to find it. Like you said, it just kind of is right there. It's so easy to immerse yourself in, and you don't have to take, you know, these multi-day treks to the heart of the jungle just to see something. Sometimes it's as simple as, you know, heading to your hotel's pool and there's an iguana waiting for you right there. Or just strolling across a little pathway someplace and there happens to be a sloth kind of coming down a tree right beside you. So you don't even really need to know where to look or what you're even looking for. It will find you.
We were, I was just hanging out on the beach and we decided to take a little stroll into the jungle or whatever you'd call it. And there was all sorts of wildlife. And I just thought, this is really quite unique. A big memory for me also was the zip line. It seems Costa Rica is really into zip lines. And you put that in your top 10 experiences.
Yeah, I mean, zip lines is one of those activities that you want to do the first time you go to Costa Rica. There's a lot of great off the beaten path experiences you can have, but I don't know if your first trip to Costa Rica is complete without a zip line tour. It's just a very thrilling, adrenaline inducing experience you can have. And it's also a great way to see the ecosystem that you zip line in. So if you do it in the rainforest, you get to check out the rainforest landscape. Or if you do it in the cloud forest, you can zip line through the clouds, which is pretty cool too.
Some image of a zip line is you take one long screaming trip. But my experience on a zip line was it was like leapfrogging from tree to tree on these zip lines, keeping your altitude. And you are up, you're getting a perspective of the rich rainforest environment from a high perspective.
Yeah, that's right. Most, they're also called canopy tours, the zip line tours.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that's just because you're zip lining through the treetop canopy. So canopy tour is a nickname that we've given to them. Usually they range about 10 to 15 cables. So it's definitely not that one thrilling zip line. It's more of a tour around the forest.
I'm glad they did because I was really nervous on the first couple and then I got good at it. And by the end, it was like, yahoo!
They always put the small cables at the front just so you can
That's
get a
good.
Taste of it.
And then another, you just mentioned a rainforest or a cloud forest. Hiking through the rainforest and cloud forest is on your list. What's the difference between a rainforest and a cloud forest?
Yeah, so scientifically, there's a lot of differences, but really what I like to tell people, because I get this question a lot, should I go to the rainforest or should I go to the cloud forest? And the difference really comes down to the atmosphere that you'll feel at both. So the rainforest is at a lower elevation. It's typically quite hot. The forest might feel a little bit more open, whereas at the cloud forest, you're at a higher elevation. So the temperature will feel cooler. It'll feel quite misty. The air will feel a little dense. It almost has a kind of a mysterious sort of eerie vibe. So definitely look out for the different types of atmosphere that you can find in each.
Nikki, as you do your work, as you update your guidebooks, and clearly by looking through this, you love Costa Rica and you know it so well, and you care about the information. I would imagine a decision for a traveler is, I mean, you're crazy to go there without a guidebook. So there's lots of guidebooks to Costa Rica, and you write the Moon Guidebook. But you could splurge for local guides. You can do things with the help of an expert, a local person who you hire, and they show you around. To what degree should that be part of your experience?
100%. So I know it can add a significant cost to the trip, but I would say if you're planning on coming to Costa Rica, budget for some private guides. So, or even not private guides, just guides who run group tours that you could join in on.
Yeah, because a group tour is a way to share the cost of a private
Absolutely.
Guide. And everywhere you go, there's going to be groups that teach you how to surf, that take you on a bug walk after dinner, to take you through the monkey forest or whatever, take you on zip lines. So you have that option. When I was in Cuba for, I think it was $50 a day, maybe it was $100 a day, we had our own private guide all day long. If I wanted to just hire some independent contractor down there to be my guide for a day, just ballpark, are there people that just say, yes, I can be hired by the day and I cost this much?
Yes, there are. Now, they usually give the rates per activity. So for example, if there was a particular national park you wanted to visit, you would hire that guide for a couple hours to tour that park. Mm-hmm. So they don't do it per day as much. I would say If you were touring a popular area and it was only for a couple of hours, I would say maybe budget $50.
Yeah, so that's kind of my point. I just like it to be straight because I've got a family of four. $100 is a lot of money. But when we're on vacation with four people, that's $25 a day per person to have a local friend who can get you in touch with those monkeys and to explain to you about these wild plants you're walking around and so on. I think it's a luxury, and I would think that's a huge advantage for a traveler. Just, we got a couple minutes left, and I just want to take a couple more experiences because I was intrigued by the floating safari. What is that?
Safari float tours are kind of like a whitewater rafting tour, but without the rapids. So you run this tour on a river, usually a slow-moving river, in an inflatable raft, and the goal is to see wildlife. So you go with a guide who leads the rafting tour down this river, and you most often will see monkeys. Sometimes, if you're lucky, you might see sloths, a whole host of birds, some iguanas, and maybe even a crocodile or two.
Nice. What an experience. And Nikki, finally, one of my favorite memories in Costa Rica was being in a, if I remember correctly, like a boutique luxury little hotel that was kind of like a luxury treehouse, and it was off the grid. And we had to fly in, and then they met us, and they took us to this place, and it was wonderful food, and I was living in a garden, and there was graceful animals around. It was like a wonderland. When you research your book, The Moon Guide to Costa Rica, is there an off-the-grid luxury sort of experience that you really are so happy to list and encourage people to take advantage of?
Yeah, so if you're looking for that type of experience, I'd highly recommend checking out the Osa Peninsula. It's a small peninsula on the southeastern corner of the country. And the thing about the Osa Peninsula is that it is quite remote, and most people get there by taking a boat, so there's not a lot of cars in the area. And there you will find a ton of off-the-grid kind of eco-lodges, some treehouse-type accommodations, where you will not find yourself around a lot of people, except for wildlife. You'll find yourself immersed in a lot of wildlife, a lot of jungle, and some peace and quiet.
Wow. Nikki Solano, thank you so much for joining us. Costa Rica is one of those places you can just dream about, or you can get it on an airplane and go there. Let's close it out with, I'd like this Pura Vida idea. It's almost like a word. It's almost like a aloha or hola or whatever. Tell us how we'd use that word when we're in Costa Rica, Pura Vida.
Sure. So you can say Pura Vida in response to pretty much anything, as long as what you're responding to is something positive. So if somebody says, hey, how are you? You can say Pura Vida. Or if they say, oh, you know, I'll see you next weekend, you say, okay, Pura Vida. Or if they ask you, hey, how was your ziplining tour? You can say Pura Vida.
Well, if somebody asks me, hey, Rick, how was your interview with Nikki Solano, who wrote that moon guidebook to Costa Rica? I'd say Pura Vida.
Perfect, Rick.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
The history of Europe lives in the words you speak every day. Up next, we'll hear how to turn the language barrier into an invitation. A Dutch linguist shares tales with us of the historical quirks and personalities of dozens of European languages. You're listening to Travel with Rick Steves.